Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, Scott in Great Falls asks a really good question here. I got some messages that came in on the Montana Talks app. Let me share a few of these messages here. First, Tim in Savage out there on the Mondakistan border. He wants us to be a little more unwoke for Unwoke Wednesday, as he's going to call it. You know, Tuesdays with the Joker is the most unwoke hour of the week, but he wants it to be Unwoke Wednesday. He says Jack Smith is this special prosecutor that Joe Biden and crew have persecuting Donald J. Trump and filed another phony indictment, a revised indictment against President Trump. He says Jack Smith is a total POS. When will the bogus lawfare end? Very good question, Tim. Jay in Billings writes this. I know this is a sidetrack from the continuing election news. Jay, no, it's not. This ties in. Don't worry. But Jay says this. I have unanswered questions regarding the fact that China presently owns 350,000 acres of U.S. agricultural land. Exactly where are these acres located? And if the land is not sitting idle, what is going on? Am I alone in concern, particularly in considering these land acquisitions have increased 80% during John Tester's time in the Senate supporting the Harris-Biden administration? Well, Jay, that's a good reminder, too. Remember, this phony, you know, two-faced Tester, John Tester, said that he would ban China from owning land in the United States. Well, what's stopping you, John? Republican Governor Greg Gianforte and the Republican supermajority in the Montana legislature, thanks to a bill by State Senator Ken Bogner out of Miles City, they already got the job done. What's taking you so long? Right? Or again, maybe it's just typical two-faced Tester. Say one thing, do another. Say one thing to the rubes back here in Montana, do another thing for his big money backers back in Washington, D.C. But here was a very good question from Scott in Great Falls. I think in the Fox News update that we just heard, was it just now? No, this must have been earlier. So Kamala Harris and Stolen Valor Tim Walz are on a bus tour in the state of Georgia. I saw they're going to be in Atlanta. I think they're even going out to Savannah. And so they're doing this bus tour. Scott is, driving down the interstate right now. He says, I just want to know if Harris and Walz are using an electric bus for the Georgia tour. Isn't that a great question? That's a really good question, right? They want your kids to have to drive from Ekalaka to Eureka on an electric school bus. Well, are they driving an EV bus? If not, why not? That's a very good question. Very good question. I don't think they want the optics of the EV bus running out of juice somewhere between Atlanta and Savannah. They definitely don't want those optics. I mean, the optics with these two are already bad enough as it is, right? But very good question, Scott. Thanks for shooting us that message.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Former Republican Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse recently resigned his job as president at the University of Florida. Sasse quit the Senate shortly into his second term to head the University of Florida 17 months ago. He recently quit because of health concerns about his wife. But officials now have questions about spending by Sasse as president of the University of Florida. Sasse hired a number of his old Senate staffers and allies to highly paid positions at the university. Spending under Sasse ballooned to $17.3 million for the president's office. That's up from $5.6 million from his predecessor. Lucrative contracts with big-name consulting firms and high-salaried remote positions for Sasse's former aides drove much of the spending. The university also declined to clarify specific duties carried out by Sasse's ex-Senate staff. Sasse promised during his ascension to the presidency that he would divorce himself from partisan politics under what he called a vow of political celibacy. But he hired six former aides from his Senate office. Two of them made more than double what they earned on Capitol Hill. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudiness and some partial sun in some areas today, we'll see a few showers and thunder showers around the region as temperatures will stay back in the upper 60s for highs in Bozeman, mid-70s in Billings. For tonight, skies clear out across the region as temperatures will head back in the lower 40s in Bozeman to the upper 40s around 50 in Billings. That will see mainly sunny conditions for Thursday. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is a huge story that is now getting national attention, but we broke it first at MontanaTalks.com. It's a report by a student athlete and a student journalist at the University of Montana in Missoula. A dark money group supporting John Tester was offering up paid political endorsements to student athletes, but some of these women rejecting the endorsement deal because Tester voted to allow men in women's sports. That story, MontanaTalks.com. Red
Robin. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's see. In the 6 o'clock hour of the show, man, it's always like, what do we talk about next? There's too much to talk about. That's why I love getting your phone calls and your messages on the Montana Talks app, because then I have an idea of kind of what you think folks across Montana want to talk about. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. But in the 6 o'clock hour, I played this audio. Senator Steve Daines sat down with Breitbart News, and we've gotten permission to use their audio on this show. Breitbart News does an incredible job. We just had Christina Wong, who's their national security correspondent, on the show a couple weeks ago. But Breitbart News sat down with Senator Steve Daines. I think they did. Oh, yeah. We've got an interview with Congressman Ryan Zinke sitting down with Breitbart News as well. But there, this one caught my eye yesterday. Navy SEAL veteran and Republican Senate candidate Tim Sheehy did this interview with Breitbart News. And, of course, he talked about the U.S. Senate race here in Montana. But actually, what was really fascinating about this interview was what he had to say about military readiness. There was a story that caught my eye over the weekend. And you know how weekends go. It's like you see something and you're like, okay, it's Saturday, Sunday. Okay, wow, that's a crazy news story. And then by Monday, the whole news cycle changes, and then you forgot about that big news story over the weekend. There was this big news story about how they don't have enough sailors to man these ships. So they're sidelining all of these ships. Oh, which reminds me of Jay in Billings was talking about China. Did you know this? This was another story that caught my eye earlier this morning. Because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have blown up the Middle East with their failed foreign policy, we've got, how many is it, one or two carrier groups? If I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong here, I think there's two carrier groups floating in the Middle East right now because of their failed foreign policy of the Biden-Harris administration. And so I read a news story, I think it was in the DOD Early Bird report, where we don't have a carrier in the Indo-Pacific right now. Boy, China's just sitting back laughing, aren't they? China is just benefiting from all this chaos in the Middle East and elsewhere because instead of us, you know, being focused on China and the Indo-Pacific and South China Sea, et cetera, Joe Biden had to take these peace agreements that Donald Trump was delivering between Israel and all these Arab countries and had to undermine the whole peace process. And the whole Middle East has been on fire ever since. And Ukraine got invaded because of Joe Biden's failed foreign policy and more. Wow. But what about this story about military readiness? Let me go to this interview with Breitbart News and Tim Sheehy. I think he gets to it pretty quickly here.
Why did John Tester not show up to the convention last week?
Well, because he can't. I mean, no, his platform for his party is so out of sync with what hardworking everyday Montanans want. He can't be seen to be within 1,000 miles of Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, or anything they're even talking about. And of course, that's Tester's routine, two-faced Tester. You know, he goes to D.C., votes with Elizabeth Warren, at Harris 100% of the time, every single time it matters. And then he comes home, throws on a Carhartt jacket, and acts like he's a Board of Security, you know, Bible-thumping Republican. And therefore, he cannot be seen to be affiliated with his home party, a party which he votes with every time. And let's not forget, he recruited Kamala Harris to run for the Senate when he was chair of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee in 2015. He is responsible for Kamala Harris existing on the national political stage.
Hold on. Say that sentence again. What did he do?
So back when he was the chair of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, the DSCC, he was the Democrat responsible for getting other Democrats elected to the Senate. He recruited Kamala Harris, fundraised her, and supported her campaign to become the next U.S. senator from California, which she was. And just, you know, 5-6 days ago at a Pearl Jam concert here in Montana, which he has every time he's up for re-election, he has Pearl Jam come in. he says the most important race in the nation is Harris has to win the presidency. Yet he hasn't endorsed her. So he recruits her for Senate, makes her a senator, says it's the most important race in the country is that she wins, but then doesn't endorse her. It's a classic case of just fakery. Man, just own it. If you're gonna support her, just own it. Stop lying to our face and telling us you're a Republican when, in fact, you know, you're responsible for Kamala Harris existing on the stage.
All right. Actually, that was a very interesting response as well. That was what initially caught my eye to this interview with Breitbart News. But I think it's actually earlier on in that conversation, so I'll have to track that one down for you and cue it up for you because what he had to say about military readiness and the fact that all of these ships have been sidelined. You know, he's a Navy veteran. He went to the Naval Academy, and what he had to say about military readiness was just absolutely – I mean, it's a reminder that this guy is really the type of leadership that we need back in Washington, D.C. right now. He's not just some political hack. I mean, when it comes to military readiness, I mean, he knows exactly what he is talking about. So I'll cue that up for you, play that one for you after the Farm and Ranch report here, so I make sure that I got it queued up in the right spot for you. Let's see. And then we're taking your phone calls this hour of the show as well. I should do a quick calendar recon. I think we're wide open here in the 7. Oh, no, we got Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana coming up at 7:40. So that'll be great. Jumping in on the big topics of the day. So, now's a good time for you to call in if you got something you want to talk about. And I'll do a brief clip from Tim Sheehy's interview with Breitbart talking about military readiness and these merchant marine vessels that have been sidelined because we just simply don't have enough sailors to man the vessels and how that ties into military readiness as well. So that'll be coming up right after this, and time for you to call in as well or message us on the Montana Talks app.
Democracy 24.
Starting in 2018, when Tim Walz was a congressman, videos show he had contact with Imam Asad Zaman. In fact, he called Zaman a master teacher. But back in 2015, Zaman posted a link to a pro-Hitler documentary. On October 7th, after Hamas attackers massacred Israelis, Zaman posted a message of solidarity with Palestinians and that the U.S. was on the wrong side of history for supporting the Zionist regime. In 2019, Zaman delivered an invocation at Walz's State of the State and appeared with the governor two more times. Walz called on him to deliver a message of calm during the George Floyd riots and again in 2023 when mosques were vandalized. However, now with the critical spotlight on past posts and statements from Zaman, the Harris-Walz campaign stated the governor and he do not have a personal relationship. Governor Walz strongly condemns Hamas terrorism. In Chicago, Mike Tobin, Fox News.
Place a yard sign and you can win a Glock. This campaign yard sign in Billings, Montana, triggered the anti-gun crowd. MontanaTalks.com.
Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Relief efforts are now underway to assist those impacted by the Remington fire in northern Wyoming and southeast Montana. First, Buffalo Livestock in Wyoming is hosting a rollover auction on Wednesday, August 28th, which is today, to raise funds for the Northeast Wyoming and Southern Montana Wildfire Fencing Relief Fund. The proceeds will be used to purchase fencing supplies for affected ranchers. Those unable to attend the auction can bid online through cattleusa.com or participate via phone. Buffalo Livestock is also collecting donations of hay and other vital supplies for ranchers that have been devastated by the fires. Also, the Montana Stock Growers Foundation is gathering donations through its Wildfire Relief Fund to support livestock producers. The Montana Stock Growers Foundation is primarily seeking financial contributions, but is also accepting in-kind donations such as hay, feed, pasture, and fencing supplies. These can be submitted through a form on the Wildfire Relief Fund page and will be distributed by local coordinators to the affected areas. Ranchers who have suffered losses are encouraged to report them promptly to county, state, and federal entities. To make a monetary or supply donation, you can visit mtbeeffoundation.org to help Montana producers. And also a great resource in Wyoming is Buffalo Livestock Marketing's Facebook page. I'm Lane Northlund. Stay safe out there, friends.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I've got that military readiness portion queued up for you right now, but let's go into the phone lines first. Goose and Anaconda, always great to hear from you. What's going on, Goose?
Hey there, Aaron. Hey, you know, we went through 4 years. We realized the FBI and Hillary with the Spygate, with Russia collusion with Trump, and realized that was bogus. We realized this first impeachment, the phone call to Ukraine looking into Biden's corruption was all legit. You know, the January 6th, we know that Pelosi stood down the National Guard, and they've lost all the emails and texts to the investigation. The coronavirus didn't come from a bat, it came from a lab. All this stuff that we now know for a fact, yet there's not been one single accountability, and I would love to ask Xi if he's going to focus on holding some accountability to all these people. But secondly, I haven't heard anything about the whole Butte recount of those 1,000 ballots that were double counted. Guarantee you they all went for the Democrats. But have you heard anything about that? Or
oh yeah, so
is
we
going to be another story that
no, we here? Had the update. What was that last week when we had the two state lawmakers on the show right as the recount was about to be underway, and then after the fact. The only change in numbers overall, there was, you know, no races were changed after the recount. I think it dealt with about a couple hundred ballots that were miscounted, but up to 1,000 votes when you look at all the different races that were on those couple hundred ballots. The only race that got changed as a result of that recount, there was a Republican precinct committee position. You know, these Republican precincts and Democrat precincts are elected positions at the local level. And so that was the one race where there was a change as a result of the primary election recount in Butte. My biggest question, now we had I'd have to go back and listen to what State Senator Mike Cuff had to say because he called in the next day in our 9 o'clock hour. If you missed it, you can go back on our Montana Talks podcast and listen to it, or I can try to cue it up for you here. My biggest question is, okay, if they believe that they might have similar issues in other counties, and look, 200 votes is 200 votes. I mean, 200 ballots is 200 ballots. It's a big deal. That could mean the difference in whether a Republican state legislator is elected or whether a Democrat state legislator is elected, right?
Oh, for sure, for sure. That brings up another point. I don't understand why all of a sudden we're at this early voting. What? Just because coronavirus changed that or something? Because, I mean, I do recommend since we have early voting that we get our votes in early rather than waiting to the day of, because we know darn well there's going to be all kinds of shenanigans with cyber attacks and printers going down and bathroom leaks and all that. But why has this become a norm?
Well, it's becoming a norm because the other side has been kicking our butts specifically because of that, because they have been focused on turning their people out early, getting out to vote early. And so what that means is like, okay, reliable voters like you, Goose, we know you're going to show up, right? You're going to do your duty. You're going to show up. And, you know, most of us like to vote on election day, and we like the ceremonial nature of it, right? Now, what we can't have is this absurd, this garbage that they did in when they used COVID as the excuse, when they did away with signature verification laws and these unmonitored drop boxes for ballots. It's like this isn't the post office or FedEx. Like, this is elections. But why are they pushing? Why is Trump's team pushing people to vote early? It's because, Goose, we know you're going to show up. We need to make sure your neighbors show up. Mark Lauder, who was with me the other day, he was with Trump on day one when Trump first walked into the Oval Office after the 2016 election. And Mark said, look, 50% of hunters don't vote. How many of these truck drivers don't vote? And so if you vote early, if our people vote early, get the job done, then you can spend the time left up to and through Election Day getting your friends and neighbors to show up to vote as well. That's how important it is.
Yeah, it just seems to me it'll be an easier way for them to find out how many votes they need to cheat, but who knows? I just don't get it. It's they've gotten us so worn down to where a lot of people don't think our votes matter, so a lot of people on our side is probably not going to vote. We know darn well everybody on their side will be voting, and I'm trying to tell everybody that maybe our vote doesn't count, but if we all voted, we could make a difference. But one thing for sure, if you don't vote, your vote is definitely worthless.
Well, the more numbers that come in, you know, the more you increase the spread, the harder it is for them to cheat. Right. The harder it is. But the other thing is like it's like what Roseanne Barr said in this recent podcast. She said, look, she hears the same thing you do. What difference does it make? Well, just this once. Give it a try. Give it a shot this November. But no, you're right. 100,000 Montanans apparently did not show up in 2022 that showed up in 2020. And so we need every single one of those 100,000 people to show up this November. The whole thing is on the line. Goose, great thoughts, great questions. Thanks so much for jumping in on the conversation. Back in 60 seconds after this Fox News update, this was a fascinating response. This news story caught my, you know, over the weekend, I had a busy weekend. I was traveling a bunch, and so I might see a news story. I might hear a bunch of news stories while I'm driving, you know, to Haver and Big Sandy and back. But this one caught my eye. And, man, I meant to talk about this a little bit earlier in the week here, but this was a fascinating back and forth here. Listen to this first question. Before they got into the politics, the 2024 Senate race, listen to this interview with Tim Sheehy and Breitbart News.
Put your Navy SEAL hat on, if you don't mind. I read this report over the weekend that there's 17, the Merchant Marines had to sideline 17 different ships because they just don't have enough manpower. Can you help us define, like, what these terms are like? What are the Merchant Marines? What does it mean, 17 vessels? Like, what's happening here? Help civilians understand.
Yeah, well, thank you for highlighting it, because for those of us in the Navy know for, you know, about a decade now, but especially these past few years, we've been beating the drum, ringing the horn about the fact that we are at a serious readiness level crisis in our naval forces. And the Merchant Marine, as you just pointed out, is a critical part of our naval forces. It is not part of the U.S. Navy. It is the Merchant Marine, which is a totally separate organization. They even have their own service academy, the Merchant Marine Academy. But the Merchant Marine is arguably just as important as our Navy, because that provides the logistical underpinning for our, not just our military forces deployed worldwide, but really global logistics, period. I mean, freedom of navigation of the world's oceans is critical to the current global economy, our economy. And the Merchant Marine is a key linchpin in that. Right now, our readiness levels in the Navy and the Merchant Marine, we can't get our ships in the ocean. We can't get our ships deployed around the world at the pace they need to be, and we can't keep them supplied once we're there. Number one, because we don't have enough ships and shipyards. We don't have enough submarines and submarine maintenance facilities, and we don't also have enough people to run these ships. So the Merchant Marine doesn't necessarily drive ships that go into combat, but they have the ships that move the oil, that move the resupply capability, that move the people around the world, that keep our Navy running. And if we don't have enough merchant mariners manning these ships, our Navy can't do its job. So this has been a long time coming. In these past 3 years, as our recruiting crisis has spiked to the highest levels we've seen since Vietnam, we can't fill the ranks of our military. This is going to bite us at a very, very bad time when it's most inconvenient for our nation. It's going to provide a massive opening to our adversaries.
Anyway, that was great. Great response there. Very insightful. And that, again, that shows not only his Navy SEAL background, but his U.S. Naval Academy training and background as well. Really, that's the kind of leadership right there that we need back in Washington. They get beyond just the bumper sticker level, just behind the political slogans and sound bites of the day. People who actually know what's going on and how to fix it. But it's also a reminder, you know, just like John Tester, you know, supported men and women's sports, John Tester has supported the transing the troops agenda and all these woke policies that are destroying military recruitment, destroying military readiness at a time when, man, we are on the brink of World War III. And Tester's woke policies are really harming this country.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
This scoop by Axios does not make Kamala Harris look good. The vice president now pledging to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on a wall along the southern border, which she once called un-American during the Trump administration. After lifting Donald Trump's proposal to not impose taxes on tips, she's looking like a copycat candidate. Now, over the years, she has called Trump's border wall a medieval vanity project, saying it's a complete waste of taxpayer money, saying it's a stupid use of money. Now, there are differences. This is money that was allocated but never spent for the wall. It will amount to about $650 million. Trump had requested $18 billion. He was never going to get that. Now, obviously, Harris is trying to neutralize the attacks on the border, which is one of the biggest Harris-Biden administration weaknesses. As one online wag said, maybe next she'll dye her hair blonde. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, what an incredible show we had for Tuesday's Montana Talks. She's a student athlete, she's a student journalist, and she just broke a big national story. We had Lily Meskers on Tuesday's Montana Talks talking about paid political endorsements offered up to student athletes. That was a big story. Wednesday, we'll have the phone lines open for you. Friday, I'm going to be doing a live show from Yellowstone Sporting Goods in Livingston. Hope to see you there.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. We got some more messages that have come in on our Montana Talks app here in just the last few minutes. Andy and Whitefish with a very great question. What kind of Adam Schiff is going on with charging Trump with the same charges again? Yeah, isn't it crazy, Andy? I mean, this special persecutor, that's what I'm going to call him, the special persecutor, not the special prosecutor, the special persecutor appointed by the Biden administration to politically persecute Donald J. Trump, got basically rejected by the United States Supreme Court. Now he's trying to try again with this revised indictment. I mean, what a sham. But also, like, what an idiot. I mean, all of these persecutions against Trump, these kangaroo courtroom, all this stuff, it's only helped Donald J. Trump. So here you are reminding the voters now of all of the ways in which you guys have tried to bring down Donald Trump. At the same time, you're bringing down the United States of America. It's just another reminder. It only has helped Donald Trump every single step of the way. Let's see, what did Jonathan Turley have to say about this? Constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley was on Special Report yesterday. He seems to be of the belief that the United States Supreme Court will not respond very kindly to the latest here from Jack Smith.
Yeah, it's the shrinkflation indictment. It's the same packaging, just less product inside. And what they did is kept the four charges, and they just took out any evidence that clearly would have contradicted the Supreme Court's decision on presidential immunity. It does not hold together, in my view, very well. I don't even think it solves the problem. For example, he's keeping in as one of the four main allegations Trump's communications with and to Pence. That's still presumptively protected under the Supreme Court decision. He also includes communications with members of Congress that could also trip a wire. The first two main theories deal with state officials and the slates, the alternative slates that Trump's team was pushing. So he doesn't really get out of the problem that so many still see with this. What's also interesting, Brett, is he keeps the charges of obstruction of official proceedings. There was a second case, the Fisher case, that dramatically narrowed how prosecutors can bring that charge. They have to essentially allege tampering of evidence or destruction of evidence. It's not clear how he's going to thread that needle on those charges.
Yeah, so it sounds like they're once again just trying to put lipstick on a pig. Once again here with this repackaged phony indictment. Let's see, a couple other messages that have come in here. Lightbrows in Hardin, a great Special Forces veteran, he says this election is turning into freedom versus communism. The Democrats are running two candidates that have never received one vote in the primaries for president. They were picked by the party elders. One of them is an avowed communist. The other is a socialist. They both hate the United States. The Republicans are running someone who is very popular, loves the country and the Constitution. Having been around the world once or twice, having lived abroad, remember, you can vote yourself into communism, but you will have to fight your way out of it. Well said there by Lightbrows in Hardin. A listener in Billings sent us a message. Goose and Anaconda asked about the importance of early voting. And this is another great point by our listener in Billings. Casting votes early also saves campaign money. When they see that you have already voted, then they don't have to send out any mailers to make sure that you're going to vote for them. That is true. So two points to add here. One is if you're somebody who gets so annoyed by all those campaign mailers showing up in your mailbox and you're like, hey, I already know who I'm voting for. Stop mailing me all this stuff. That costs a lot of money. And so you can save the candidate, the state party, independent organizations. They will, if they're smart, they will know when you voted because they get the latest absentee list from the counties. So they will stop spending money targeting you, and instead they can use that money to target undecided voters and make campaigns more successful. So that's a very good point. But also, once they know you voted, your mailbox stops getting filled up with all those stinking flyers, unless these organizations didn't do their job and are wasting their money still sending you stuff after you already voted. But anyway, let's see. Hey, speaking of campaigns, man, this guy knows a thing or two about what's going on the ground, boots on the ground, knocking doors and more. Henry Kriegel is the Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana, and this segment brought to you by AFP Montana. Henry, great to have you on the show.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Aaron. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. I'm excited. We had some great events. We did these events paid for by AFP Montana, talking Bidenomics. We went into John Tester's backyard, a Big Sandy, and what a great time! And man, it was just a great swing to have her in Big Sandy.
Yeah, it's great to bring the message of freedom and liberty to the small town of Sandy, where I'm told that John Tester could not even be elected mayor of Big Sandy. He's not very liked in his hometown. But any case, we got elections coming up, as you've been talking about this morning. And yes, voting starts October 7th. And it's no longer election day in America. Actually, election day happens to be the last day you can vote, November 5th. And it starts October 7th, and we've been gearing up. And people tell me it's going to really gear up after Labor Day. And I'm going, where you been the last 8 months?
You were geared up nearly a year ago, right? Yeah.
We've been in the trenches since December 8th on this thing, trying to get, with AFP Action, trying to get Tim Shee elected as our 51st U.S. Senator, assuring a firewall strategy to protect our country, no matter what the outcome for the race for president. And it's been going very well. I see us gaining a lot of enthusiasm out there. We just don't want people to vote for Tim Key because, it's John Tester, a Democrat. We want people to vote with a sense of enthusiasm because this man is a great candidate. He's been subjected to the most expensive attempt to destroy his image, his reputation, his business, his family, everything about him by the Tester machine, throwing out all kinds of lies, using party hacks as talent for their TV ads. It's just really incessant how often I see the same ridiculous, stupid ads on TV talking about health care and how he supposedly wants to privatize all of health care, which is a complete and total fallacy. Never talked about eliminating Medicaid or Medicare, which we've all paid into, and you can't just get rid of people who rely on that as their source of health care, or the lie that he wants to buy up all public lands. If you can't, he'll buy up land adjacent to public land so you can't have access to it, which is another complete and total fallacy. The gunshot wound fallacy, the man took a hit for one of his Navy SEAL teammates in Afghanistan by not reporting a friendly fire incident, and all of a sudden the Washington Post calls him a liar. You know, whatever they tell you on TV about Tim Key that's negative, it's born in error and in lie. And you got to ask yourself the question, who is the father of all lies when you look at those kinds of ads?
Yeah. But it's funny. It's all backfired on Tester. Like, they thought they could knock him out in the primary by overwhelming him with negative attack ads. And if anything, it actually backfired. People rallied around him. And, like, I've known Tim Sheehy and his wife Carmen since they got out of the military and started their businesses here in Montana as a fellow veteran. You know, you know the veteran entrepreneur community, a lot of them, right? And so I've known how incredible this family is. But for a lot of other people out there, they didn't know who Tim Sheehy was, you know, because he's not a political hack who's been running for office after office for 15 years, right? And so they were intrigued. They wanted to find out who this guy is. And whether he was in Broadus or Ekalaka, or this guy has picked up bigger crowds everywhere he goes, and he's won over supporters. So it's crazy how it's all backfired on Tester and Schumer.
It has backfired. I mean, it really has backfired with younger voters. They go, when I'm knocking at the doors, and I go out every National Day of Action, we do them at least twice a month. When a young person tells me they've seen these ads on TV, it makes me want to know more about this man, Tim Key. Because if they're attacking him, there's got to be something good there. So it is backfiring, especially with younger voters. And I tell you, the more Tim Key gets out and speaks, the more he comes into his own. And I was never more present during the Trump rally here in Bozeman. That was a fantastic speech, a great talk. And if you get him up, get him on TV or on radio, unscripted, unlike Kamala Harris, who's got to read from the teleprompter when it goes anywhere, Tim is great in interviews.
Yeah, so and it's so, you mentioned Kamala Harris. It's interesting. Kamala Harris and John Tester are basically running the exact same phony campaign right now, trying to make it look like they're build the wall MAGA Republicans. Hold that thought. Henry, if you can, stick around. We'll come back to you right after this.
It's time to get the sleep you deserve with Sleep Number. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, you can save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed. Plus, get special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. See store for details. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Fox News commentary.
Kamala's campaign wants to change the debate rules and Trump should not cave. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
I guess it's not enough. Democrats swapped out a whole person. Now the Kamala campaign is making fresh new demands ahead of the ABC debate scheduled for September 10th. Though both candidates had already agreed to the terms, the Kamala team is reportedly asking for changes. Her campaign reportedly wants the mics hot throughout the 90-minute debate, wants the debate to be seated, and with notes available. It's no shocker Kamala wants notes, because we know what an utter disaster she can be without a script. But as for the hot mics, it's obvious she wants Trump to interrupt her at some point so she can get a viral girl boss moment and play victim. The Trump campaign should reject all of these proposed changes. The Democrats have already swapped out their candidate 100 days before the election. The time for them to make more demands has passed. You know, I hope we can get at least one debate, but it cannot be on Kamala's terms only. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
There's at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Thankfully, Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana is able to stick around with us for just a few more minutes here, and then we'll have more open phones time coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show and the 9 o'clock hour of the show today. Henry, you know, you and I were talking during the break. This is pretty cool. I'm going to be doing several great events in Livingston and in Butte over the next few days. I'll tell folks more about that maybe tomorrow or later this morning. But you're going to be speaking at, what is it, the Gallatin County Republican Women's Luncheon on Friday about something very important. You know, I've gone off on rants here on this show, like, you know, hey, because everybody's always asking me, where do I get yard signs? And I'm like, okay, get a yard sign. Great. Okay. Those are nice to haves, but they're not need to haves to win elections. Yard signs don't win elections. Maybe they help with local elections. They're still good to have. Don't get me wrong. But what wins elections is going door to door, talking to your friends and neighbors, getting them actually out to vote. I understand that's what you're going to be talking about on Friday.
I'm going to be talking about this on promoting this on Thursday.
Thursday, okay.
That's tomorrow, but no problem. We're going to talk about how to canvass to win votes. That's the purpose of canvassing. Canvassing is the best form of voter outreach. It's been studied by social scientists for years. It outpaces the ads, the multi-million dollar ads that Tester is running. It outpaces direct mail. It outpaces email and phone calls. Voter to voter, person to person, heart to heart contact at the door is the way to go. We're going to teach people how to canvass to win votes at a training session on my offices Friday, September 6th, and Saturday morning, September 7th. On the 6th, we give the classroom training. On the 7th, we walk with you door to door and teach you how to do it. And the beauty of this thing is you'll learn how we do it to help win the Senate seat for Tim Shee and Montana and the nation. And then you can go out and apply those very same principles to your candidate of choice on a local or county level as you desire. So we believe there is a vacuum there and a need for greater training for people to learn how to do real basic voter outreach, and we're providing that. Now, I would like to challenge my friends here listening here this morning around the state of Montana, that if you want to win this U.S. Senate seat, every vote counts. And I would challenge you to go and reach out to 10 of your friends and talk to them about why we need Tim Shee as our next U.S. Senator, and how that this is the greatest contribution we as Montanans can make to the nation and have a ripple effect to the world should we secure that 51-seat majority in the U.S. Senate. And we can do it right here in Montana. That's the blessing. That's the opportunity that is before us. And we, as Montanans, must seize this.
And that can help across the board. That can help across the board. That can help with down ballot legislative races, with Supreme Court races and everything. I mean, I remember back in 2008, you know, I was working for the TV station at the time when Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were campaigning in Montana, because Montana, you know, it came down to the wire in that Democrat presidential primary that year. And, you know, did Barack Obama win Montana? No. But the rallies and the enthusiasm that he brought to Democrats in Montana helped them with down ballot races in 08 and then again in 2012. And so and part of that was that they encouraged people to get out there and talk to their friends. So that stuff is so critical. Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana. Always good to chat with you, my friend. Thanks so much for your time.
We'll see you tomorrow night in Park County.
Hey, that's right. Yeah, I'll be the MC for the Park County Lincoln Reagan dinner. I'm glad you'll be there as well. Looking forward to it. Yeah, it's going to be a great lineup. I was talking with Glenn Fowler, the chairman of the Park County Republicans, and man, they've got a great lineup of folks that are going to be there. By the way, one way you can reach out to your friends, if you guys missed it, last Friday we had John Graves of MillionVoices.org on the show. You can text MT. You just send a text, MT, to 80550. Text MT to 80550, and you'll get a candidate fact sheet that you can easily share with your friends.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. If you're taking money out from an ATM and it's not a machine run by your bank, you'll probably be paying more than ever before. Bankrate found that out-of-network ATM fees are at the highest levels since it began tracking them back in 1998. The average this year is $4.77. According to Greg McBride, Bankrate's chief financial analyst, when making withdrawals, go to in-network ATMs or get cash back when using a debit card. Also check out if your bank participates in a nationwide ATM network that can be used free of charge. Overdraft fees are also higher this year and topping $27. McBride said it's important to check your balance before making a notable purchase or withdrawal to avoid overdraft or insufficient funds fees. And don't opt into overdraft protection on small dollar ATM and debit card transactions, and link your checking account and savings account so any shortfall is covered by your own funds and not the bank's. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.